My copy card is ours, the three seats. Those, what are these three seats? Well, sum it up. It's calm, change, confident. Let me explain where this comes from. Whenever I'm assigned somewhere, I'm intrigued by what's going on in someone's mind when they deal with life situations. For instance, when I was chaplain at St. Elizabeth's Hospital downtown years ago, before there was one out here, I would often go around and talk to the doctors I knew and ask them things like, how do you deal with death when you lose a patient? And I'd like to hear what they have to say, or what do you think death really is? So I kind of like to do that. When I first went to Mooney, I was chaplain, and I was assigned as football chaplain. And so I took the coach aside, and Coach Fecko once, after the season, and I was curious. I asked him, I said, well, what do you think, what goes through your mind when things start to go south in the game? I'm just curious, what happens? And he's the one who really gave me the key. He said, well, what I try to do is stay calm, change what I can, and remain confident. I like that. If you came for me, and anyone knows me, I'm not the biggest sports enthusiast in the world, to say the least, but it's just kind of funny that as a priest, I've taken sort of a football philosophy as my own model in life, dealing with issues in life, because it makes sense to me. Stay calm. Change what you can to be confident. Stay calm. Stay calm. Boy, I wish I had an easy way to tell you how to do that. But, you know, a few years back, I came across this comical little comic pamphlet. It was poking fun at Italian Americans, so I can talk about this because that's how I grew up. In my generation, we were more identified, I guess. We self-identified as our Italian. I'm so I'm Irish. You're Irish. My generation had more of that, I think, than you young people. But I remember that years ago, finding a comical pamphlet about Italian-American family versus American family. And the one that sticks in my mind was crisis. How an American family, American meaning, you know, I'm part English, Dutch, French, here, American family versus the Italian family, spaghetti every Sunday. How the American family deals with a crisis. It's called Johnny Briggs' Leg. And what it was, dear, oh my, Johnny's broken his leg, says mother. And father says, oh, that's unfortunate. Let me get the car out, dear, and we'll get him down to the emergency room. She says, that'll be fine, Johnny. Everything's going to be fine now. You know, just, you know, dry those tears. We're going to get that with the American family. Then they contrast it with the Italian-American family. Johnny breaks his leg. And it was like, oh my God, Tony, his kid did his mother and he broke his leg. Oh God. Then the father comes in. Ah, what the hell is wrong with you? How did you do it? So what they're trying to say is, someone's in our DNA. It is in mine. I'm prone to a little drama sometimes when crisis strikes. I grew up that way. My parents were exactly like that comic strip. Something went wrong. That's exactly what happened. It burst into screaming, yelling, God, curses, what happened? And it was all some sort of a dark conspiratorial plot against the family. And there was a lot of yelling and screaming. I grew up with a lot of that. Some is conditioned, some is maybe DNA, and it's cultural. Different cultures have it. But it brought home to me how useless the drama is, how useless the panic is, and what do you really accomplish? It just takes you longer, even if you accomplish the same end, which is to get the emergency, it just takes you longer. Things are said that are stupid. You're more hurt, you're more upset. Stay calm. Okay, how do you stay calm in any crisis? Johnny breaks his leg, or the crisis that you just left at work, or the crisis that's looming on the horizon at work. How do you stay calm? I'm not so convinced that that's the key. Maybe it's another C word. Stay in control. Stay in control. I wish I could say stay calm, but I don't have like a technique of stay calm. I don't use that. I think it's more stay in control. It's sort of like getting a patch of ice. And I've done this. So if you get a patch of ice, and the car begins to move without your direction, but you still have to keep control. So northeastern Ohioans like us, we're a little better trained in this, but we know you manipulate the wheel, you manipulate the pedal a little bit more. You've got to say, if you take your hands off and do it the Italian way, oh my God, I just came from church. It doesn't work. So you hold on to the wheel, you negotiate, you know that you could end up bad, and you also know you could end up good. It's a 50-50 coming down that hill in Louisville, where I used to serve. There were some big hills in Louisville, and it happened to me more than once. It's a 50-50 proposition, but I got to keep my hands on the wheel and
and give it my best shot. That's what I mean by staying in control. To my mind, it's an act of the will. It's not just so much that my mind overcomes my emotions. That's not enough. It's an act of the will. I will. And that comes from God. God gave me my free will. We talk about God's will, God's will. God's will is powerful, which means it brings all things to a good end, no matter how bad things get in the mix. God's will is all powerful. God has given me a free will. I share in God's will. My will has power. That's what I need to summon up when I hit the ice, when I hit the crisis. It's not just saying, use your mind, get above your emotions. I don't think that way anymore. It's more than that. It's will. I will do this. Another example. One of the favorite programs in my life that I watch faithfully started again Sunday night was The Walking Dead. Now, I know that sounds odd, but I just like it. I like it for philosophical reasons. I mean, killing zombies after a while gets a little boring, but the philosophy of it all, that what do human beings do when they're really put in the midst of an overwhelming crisis, an overwhelming situation? Good comes of it, and then also in the storyline, bad comes. People still beat each other up in the lifeboat on the way down. I mean, that's another whole topic. But I watched The Walking Dead faithfully. And in one episode, they went through all the reruns. In one episode, it struck me, overwhelmed by, you know, a world gone crazy, the zombie apocalypse, and all this death is all around us. One character says to another, and he's one of my favorite characters, I don't know if you watched it, Daryl, with his crossbow. He's a backwoodsman of sort. She says to him, because things have just fallen apart even more, there's been more death, she says, are you okay? And his answer is, I gotta be. And I like that, because that's what I'm talking about. I gotta be. He didn't say, I feel. He didn't say, I think. He said, I gotta be. See, that's the will. The will is, I am in what seems to be an impossible situation with my mother's health, my job, what's coming down the road with my job, my lack of job, this relationship, this romantic relationship, this friendship, whatever it is, I am in a situation, I hit a patch of ice. I gotta be okay. I got to steer my way through this. I have no choice, but I do have God within me. God's will, my will, I will it. Willpower, I have the power of my will to overcome the panic that's bursting and wants to get out of me, but it'll leave me crashed along the side of the road. I gotta be. That phrase, fake it to make it, it's true, you fake it to make it sometimes. And I don't mean that in a hypocritical way, but I at times pretend to be stronger in a situation than I am. I went through. Well, you people are young, and we all face this, my parents, and maybe some of you have had that, maybe it happened earlier in life. I went through crises with both of my parents, who are now passed, but major health crises, and staying in the house, and nursing home, and all kinds of things that I wouldn't want. But through all of that, I found myself, it's only me and my sister, and she's not here, so I can say it's my sister. She belongs to that comic strip. But so I just knew that I had to step out of myself by power of will and take charge. So I led, it's only my sister, I led her and my parents through those crises of health, some dementia. If I let my feelings take over, there's all kinds of feelings about the past and where we lived and how we grew up. But you can't do that. I mean, when it was all over, I'll be honest, when it was all over, and my mother was buried, I went to the father and my mother, when it was all over, and I was in, finally at a place where I no longer had to do any of this. I remember being in St. Charles Church and just sitting down, and I let it out. I'm not a crier. I don't cry on a regular basis. But that was, I remember very clearly the day after my mother's burial. Both were passed, both were safely home, and then I let it out in one big gush. And that's okay, and we have to do that too. But all through it, I had to keep my hands on the wheel. The wheel, and it's will. Will and will. I kept my hands on the wheel and kept steering, and it was will power through the whole crisis that I went through. So that's the concept in my mind of the first C, of staying calm. Staying calm. I can't tell you again there's a technique for it. I just say it's willpower, number one. Stay calm. Number two, change what you can. That definition of Einstein's hit me once, and you know it. The definition of madness, being a crazy person, is repeating the same behavior over and over again and expecting different results. Now, I've been through this. I'm still going through this. And every time it happens, I'm aware of it myself, and I get angry with myself. Repeating the same, I guess it came home during that last Republican debate for poor Marco Rubio, and I don't want to get political, but it was famous, and they showed the clip over and over again. Marco Rubio was asked more than once a question, and he came back with the same answer. I want to make this very clear. Barack Obama does know what he's doing. If you remember seeing this, and then Chris Christie went out after him and embarrassed him and said, you see this? That's the fourth time he's given this standard speech. You know, he's just got a 25-second speech, and poor Marco Rubio wasn't able to change it, and he kept doing it. But that's the definition of madness. And, you know, he really hurt himself in that. He's bouncing back, but he really hurt himself in that. Repeating the same behavior and expecting different results. It never, never works. You have to have your wits about you, and you have to drop your courage to make a necessary change here or there, sometimes right on the spot, in order to bring about a different reaction and ultimately a different conclusion to a problem. Again, my poor sister, I use her as an example. I used to warn her all the time, obviously. She has two children. She raised them, and I had them. But I would watch her over and over again. She tended to be, because of our background, our culture, she tended to be a yeller screamer. Every little thing was, "What are you doing?" And I used to tell her, like, I knew better. No, I said, "I think if you keep your voice down, And what happened was they just tuned her out. It's like that cartoon of the cat being scolded by the human being saying all these things, "You're a bad cat," and the cat in his little bubble just says, "Blah, blah, 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 blah," because he could care less. It's all the same noise. And you know, or you've heard, or you've witnessed, or you were the kid involved in this, when someone's screaming at you all the time, it does wear off. It just wears off. So again, repeating the same behavior and expecting different results. You have to adjust. You have to make the necessary change. That movie, it's old now. I can't remember how young these people are. And Frank, this is designed just for the young people. We're letting you sit here, but you don't qualify. Once you know that. I'm going to let you stay, but I should have kicked you out. This is for millennials. You're not a millennial. Just get that in your head. Very young people are young. People are young. I don't know. My big fat Greek wedding was a big rage for a while. You're not being that young. And I had spent the time in Camel twice, so I was used to the Greek community too, so I got a big kick out of the movie. But one thing about the movie that impressed me was, here was an unhappy person, if you saw the film, here was an unhappy woman, an extremely unhappy woman, trapped. She was repeating the same behavior, expecting different results. She showed up for work every morning, she opened it up, she listened to people sit, her hair was just hanging down, her face was hanging down, she was used, she was abused, make this, do this, but then she made a change. She decided to enroll in computer classes in the evening. She got her hair cut. She got her hair fixed. She fixed herself up, got contacts instead of glasses. Now, do those things alone make you happy? No, but sometimes that's just the kind of change you need to push you in the new direction, which is what happened. She met a guy. He wasn't a Greek. He was everything that she was taught not to want. But she took that courageous step, and the end of the story is a happy ending. I like that. I like that concept, because you do need the courage to step out, to make the change, sometimes just a minor change. And again, I'm not an advocate that says if you only lose weight, you're going to be happy. If you only do this, but those things can help. They can help when you're looking for a different direction in life. And ultimately, it should be a change of attitude that sinks in there. This is what I like about the new Pope. Some people don't like him. I like him because he's willing to make some changes. Change what you can. He's going to change the things that are within his hands to change. Some things we believe are of God and of Scripture. We can't change that. But his point is, whatever I can change to make it a little easier, like this whole issue of getting an annulment to get remarried in the church, he's changing it. He's shortening it. He's trying to handle it in such a way to say, let's move in a new direction. We've done this for so many years. We're not any happier for doing it. Maybe we'll be happier if we make this change. I full-heartedly believe that that's necessary. I'm not saying I do it real well, but I believe in the principle. So, stay calm, change what you can, and finally, remain confident. Remain confident, first of all, in God, and then in yourself. That beautiful story from the Gospels of the apostles on the lake in the boat, and Jesus is asleep, and the storm whips up, and they're screaming. Italians, Jews, we're all kind of connected. We all have that same kind of thing, you know. They're screaming and yelling. Now, they believe in him. They've seen his power. They've seen his miracles. But there he is in the back of the boat, asleep. And they totally lose confidence in what's going to happen. We're going to sink. We're going to drown. They wake him up. I should say they, not that he wakes up. They wake him up. And he scolds them. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And he calms. He calms the sea. They lost confidence in God, quite frankly. That's what the story is driving home. And I do that, and you do that as well. Why? We forget what God has already gotten us through. And that was always the key to the Bible, to the Jewish people's faith. Always look back and say, okay, I have this crisis right here. What am I going to do? Look back and say, did God get me through anything else? The Jews always said he got us through the Red Sea. That was there every Passover. Now the spring, the Passover, that's the big story. That's the night of the Passover. God got us through the Red Sea. So maybe, yeah. He split the sea in half. We escaped the Egyptians. We came up on dry land. Look back, believe, and then move forward in confidence. Confidence in God has to do with a review of your life. Mine is now 60, going on 64 years. You're young, not you. You're young. You're younger than me. I think you are. How old are you, Frank?
60 years.
Okay, you're older than me. So you look back on your life, and you start to count the times and look at the ways that God has gotten. I look back at the death of my mother, the death of my... In fact, I can remember this. When I was a chaplain at the hospital, I was still very young, late 20s, earliest 30s. I can remember being in a hospital room and there'd be a family crying and there's someone dying. And, you know, it's in intensive care. And I used to, for a moment, pause and picture my mother and my father. And I couldn't imagine it at that point. I was still rather young. And for whatever skills they had taught me, I still was emotionally kind of weak in that area. I couldn't imagine that. That's going to happen to my mother and my father. Well, it did. It did. So then looking back, I would think, how did I get through that? God is a reservoir. God is a reservoir. Constantly there. And it's only by reaching back into that reservoir, into that reserve, into that resource, and bringing it forward that I can get to the next crisis. Jesus asleep in the back of the boat, and there's a storm raging. And I'm the apostle. Do I scream? And do I get angry at God? Do I give up? Do I sink? No. I stay in control. I stay in control by power of will, my will, which is a gift from God. And I'm confident that Jesus, that God is with me, and I just do what I can. I do what I can in the situation. Once again, the three C's all come again, interweaving one with another, and I get through it. Confidence in God is key. The second thing is confidence in myself, and that's probably even harder than confidence in God. That I have built up within me, and you have already, young as you are, built up within you certain skill sets, certain intuitive ways to deal with situations that sometimes you don't give yourself credit for. I know I don't give myself credit for. In fact, I worked with Nancy at Mooney. She was my executive assistant, and she used to always holler at me about this because I'd always say, I can't do this. And she would say, well, you don't realize you can, but you've actually learned how to do this. And then I would say to myself, she's right, but I wouldn't tell her she was right. I would say to myself, she's right, I actually did. Because of different crises that I already was going through in my situation, I had developed some skills, but I didn't have the confidence in myself to pull them forward and use it. It's sort of like that real old movie, now don't tell me you guys were born, The Karate Kid. Now the first one, that's an old movie, The Karate Kid, where Daniel is taught by the old master from Okinawa, these certain skills that to him didn't make any sense, you know, wash the car, do this, do that. He was training him all along. And then when he was in competition, all that the master demanded was that he had confidence in himself, that these things were in him. And they were. And he won. That was the whole point. All along, he had been building up these skill sets that he wasn't quite aware of. But he was called upon by his teacher. I think it was Mr. McCool.
Miyagi.
Miyagi, Mr. Miyagi. He was called upon by Mr. Miyagi to pull them all together, the power of his will, pull them all together and have confidence in himself. And so he did his famous Karate Kid moves, and he won the match. And he won for himself respect and peace and dignity and all those wonderful things. That's how it is for us. I think as we're going along, we don't realize what we have by virtue of our education, family background, what's in us, what we've learned. And these are all pieces, but we need to call upon them all in a self-confidence at some point in order to move forward. Sort of like back to my big fat Greek wedding. After the changes that she made, she concluded the film by saying, "But there's my family. They're goofy, they do this, they do that, but that's my family, those are my roots." That was her sense of confidence. She didn't throw everything out. Changed her hair, direction of education, work. She didn't throw out the depth of faith. They married in church. He converted, the non-Greek. They married in church, and she called forth her family as a strength in her life. We've got to do the same thing. Change what we can, but remain confident in who we are, what we are, the good and the bad of our background and our parents and all of our family extended as it was. Pull on all of that and have confidence in myself for what faces me. Confidence in God, he's asleep in the boat, and in myself, I can do this. So, stay calm, subset in control, power of your will, change what you can, make changes courageously, another C, courageously change, and finally, confidence. Confidence in God, not your faith, simple faith. God's with me, got me through this, will get me through that. Confidence in yourself. You have more in you than you're aware of. I guess I sum this all up with my favorite prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. That's sort of like the Walking Dead character who says, "I gotta be. Can't change this. I got it. Are you okay? Gotta be. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." There's confidence. Wisdom. Wisdom means to see beneath things and through things. To see Jesus in the back of the boat. To see God in back of me, in my past, where I've come from, and with me now. And the wisdom to understand that I'm probably better than I think, more prepared than I believe, more able than I give myself credit. Amen. Thank you all. Are we on time?